Good morning. Glad to be back here. I feel like I haven't been here in a few weeks, so I've missed everyone, and I'm thankful for the opportunity now to come up here and bring hopefully an edifying lesson for all of us. Recently on Facebook, I don't know, someone might have seen it, but I posted a video that I saw on somebody else's wall. But this video, it was basically Penn, his name's Penn Jillette. If anyone knows Penn and Teller, they're like magician comedians. He's one of those two. And he's pretty well known for being an outspoken atheist, you know, really hard-nosed about that. But in this video, he's telling a story about this man who was waiting for him backstage after one of his shows, a man who had seen his show, and he talks about this guy. He says he was very complimentary. He complimented Penn on his use of language. He said, you know, your act was very funny. It was good. He talks a lot about how sincere the man was. And then at the end, I guess, of their confrontation, he had a Bible, and he handed it to Penn. He said, I got this for you, and it had, you know, some phone numbers where Penn could reach the guy and an email address and stuff. But in this video, Penn's really, he seems moved by, you know, he doesn't seem converted. He says, I'm still an atheist, but, you know, this was a good man. And that's kind of how he finishes the video. He says, I was really, you know, you could tell that he was surprised and he was shocked by the confrontation he'd had with this man, which I think says something maybe about the other religious people who had talked to him, and we'll talk about that later. But another thing also he says in this video, he apparently his opinion is, you know, about Christians and about people who are religious, that if you really believe there's a heaven and a hell, you know, he thinks you should be out there telling other people that. And he sees that as a logical conclusion. You know, he's not one of the atheists who says, you know, just keep it to yourself, leave me alone. He's one who thinks, you know, I want people to tell me, you know, if they think I'm about to get hit by a truck or something, I would rather, you know, you come and tackle me than just let that happen. This is just sort of what the video is about. I really wanted to show the video because it's a lot more powerful than me, and a lot makes everything go a lot more smoothly than me standing up here stammering what happened in it, but I didn't know how to do that on this. So anyway, I just want to make some points about this video and about what he says, because I thought it really moved me just to see his reaction and to hear what he had to say. And a lot of it, you'll probably know where I'm going with it, but I think it's good just to remind us and to encourage us. So the first point I want to make is I think that Penn is right, obviously, when he says that we should be telling people if we think there's a heaven and a hell. You know, and I know this is something I need to work on, and this is something that I don't do. I don't talk about it much. Because, you know, sometimes it seems awkward, or it seems like I'm kind of being rude, or I'm kind of, you know, rushing things or whatever. You know, but he's right. We need to be bringing up those things. Something I think is interesting that Penn only mentions, you know, if you think there's a heaven and a hell, if you think there's a place where I will go if I'm good, and a place where another evil, horrible place I'll go when I'm bad, you know, I want you to tell me that. And that's true, and that is, you know, roughly what we believe. But I think it's amazing. We have something much more amazing to share. It's much more than just that. It's interesting that's the way he words it, because this is one of the major problems he says he has with religion, that it's sort of setting forth this reward-retribution system where we're only going to do good because we're going to go to heaven, and that's the only reason he thinks, you know, Christians are doing good things. And the only reason we're avoiding evil things is not because they're going to hurt people or because of this or because of that, but because we're going to go to hell if we don't, you know, it's in our best interest to avoid those things. And that's sort of a problem he has with religion. So it's interesting that that's the way he puts it, that, you know, if you think there's a heaven and a hell. But like I said, we have something even more amazing. What we have to share is, it's not just, here's a way, here's a ticket out of hell. You know, you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble. You know, it's in your best interest to listen to me. It's something more amazing. Jesus Christ himself. I think about 1 Corinthians 2:2, where Paul says, you know, we determine not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the message that we have. That God, in his Son, Jesus Christ, has reconciled the world to himself. That idea of reconciliation, a relationship being reestablished. That whereas we had been separated and alienated from him, and an unbridgeable gap had been made sort of between us, at least unbridgeable by us, God bridged that. God paid an enormous price out of love for us. You know, that's the idea behind the gospel. That's what our preaching is. That's what we go out there and we tell people, because we know him and we know he has done and who he is. Not just what he's done, or not just that we get something out of it, but that's who God is. That God is an almighty God, that God is a God of steadfast love, who has made this amazing gesture to bring his creation back to himself. You know, that news, that's who God is, that is who is in control of this world, that we can know him through Jesus, you know, that is an amazing thing. And it's far more amazing, I think, than Penn at this point in his life probably understands. I bring all this up because I think sometimes our evangelism might be along Penn's lines. That might be what we really do believe. That might be what our faith really is, just this idea of heaven and hell. And if that's true, then that's going to come out in our preaching. It's going to be evident in the way we're bringing the gospel. I might kind of sum it up as, you know, we're going out, we preach, and we kind of have this panicked attitude. We have to go out and we have to be doing something so that we can, you know, so that we can show God, look at all this preaching I did. You know, we hear that we're not preaching enough, and we run out there and say, okay, I'm going to start telling everybody. You know, I don't know why, or I don't exactly know how to do it or what to say, but I just, you know, we feel like we have to make up for lost time or something. Basically, we think we have to go out and preach so that we can be saved, maybe is a good way to put it, and not that we're going out and preaching because we have been saved, because we realize what God has done. That we are going out and giving because we have first received, not vice versa. You know, it's because God has generously and freely given it to us that we, you know, have that love of God in our hearts now, and we want to go out there and tell people. So that's how it should be, but as I'm saying, it's not always that way. Sort of the wrong attitude I'm describing, I don't know why, and maybe this doesn't make sense to anybody, but it reminds me of the Israelites in Numbers 14:41. You don't have to turn there, I'll describe it, but it's in Numbers 14. It's after God has commanded them to go and to take the promised land. He's led them all the way to this point. And they say, no, we're not going to go into the promised land. And so God says, okay, well, we're going to wander in the wilderness. You know, that's what's going to, you know, you've made your choice. You said you're not going to go, so I'm going to take you in the wilderness. And at that point, they say, no, like, we'll go do it. We'll go take the promised land now. And so God tells Moses, you know, don't tell them not to go up there, because they're just going to get destroyed. You know, they're disobeying me and not going up when I wanted them to, and now they're just disobeying me again and going up when I didn't want them to. For some reason, just that attitude of the Israelites, that, oh no, we got to start making up for lost time. We got to start doing good now. We got to just start running out and doing it. That's sort of the feeling I feel in my heart sometimes when someone preaches a lesson about evangelism, that I realize I'm not doing it enough, and run out there and start doing it just without thinking. And I think that's a danger. That's why I'm going over all this. So again, that will come out in our preaching, and I think it's important that we're preaching and living And that's going to be my second point here, but that we're living and being those people we need to be. And if we focus first on our being and walking in faith, then our preaching and our Bible study and our prayer and everything else we do, those things will fall into place. That it's not about us just saying something to somebody just by itself, but it's about us being the right people so that those words are the right words. I guess another way I might put it is it's better for us to have the right heart without the right words necessarily than the right words without the right heart. Words without heart, people can see that. People can see through us. We show ourselves to be people who don't believe what we're saying. And I think that's what we need to watch out for. So this is kind of all leading right into my second point, in a loose kind of way. But the second point I wanted to make is just how we act matters. And not only how we act, I don't want to make it sound like we're putting something on, but how we are, the people that we are. That's again what I'm saying in all this is that's going to come through in the way that we preach. And so obviously this video that I started with has a lot to do with that. Penn isn't so much amazed or astounded at this guy's preaching or at the way this guy put the message in his words, right? He doesn't have too much to say about what did this guy say about Jesus Christ. And that might be a failing on the part of the guy, I don't know. And I'm not going to judge that. I think it's mostly just important for us to realize that Penn was so affected by just this guy's behavior, just his manner, just what he did. Not only sincere and complimentary to Penn, but also in the way that the guy gave him a Bible. You know, he didn't say what was good except for that last part where he got into the religious stuff. I mean, he was impressed by everything about the guy, including the religious part, including the business, if you will. So anyway, like I said, I want to take a few lessons from what that guy said, or how that guy acted. In this video, Penn says over and over again that the guy was really, he says, sane. He says the man, he was just really, he was sincere, and he was sane, and he was a normal guy. And I think it's interesting that's the way he puts it. I'm sure that if we think about it, the reason he's saying that is because so many religious people he's talked to would be what he might call nuts, you know, religious crazy people that, you know, not that I'm saying they are, but just I'm sure that's the reason sanity is the word he used. And a lot of times when we hear that, if we hear him saying, oh good, finally a sane Christian person, you know, sometimes that might make us defensive. Sometimes to hear that would make us say, you know, I don't care what you think, Penn. I don't care if you think I'm nuts. I don't care if you think I'm a Jesus freak. I'm going to keep acting the way I'm acting. And it kind of makes us defensive and pushes us even more in whatever direction that is. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that it's true that Penn thinking that religious people are crazy, you know, it doesn't change the truth of the gospel. And it doesn't change the fact that we should bring the truth to people. It doesn't change the fact that we have been redeemed through Jesus Christ and that we should bring that to other people. So it doesn't change any of those things, but I think this is a situation where this man changed something about, or he was different from other people. There was a difference between the way this guy acted and the way other Christians acted. And what this guy did worked. What this guy did, it appealed to Penn. He saw it as a sincere, real person. Whereas something everyone else had been doing up to this point was only driving him farther away. I think sometimes it becomes between atheists and Christians, it becomes a sort of like trench warfare type situation where people, you know, like they attack us with these words like religious nuts and whatever, and we just say, yeah, we're religious nuts, whatever, man, like, and we just dig our heels in even more. And it just, like I said, it doesn't get anyone anywhere. Everyone just gets more and more rooted in the way that they are, and it's just a fight. It's just a battle. And I guess what I'm saying is this man transcended that. This man got out of that. He went out of his side over to Penn's side. He made himself all things to all people, I guess as Zenda might say it. Whatever there is about us, maybe that we can change. Paul was willing to change. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:22. We'll look at that verse since I brought it up. First Corinthians chapter 9. And we can start in verse 19. Paul says there, though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. So I guess that's what I'm trying to get across here. That this man, there are elements of what we might want to call religious culture or the way that Christians normally act or whatever, but there are things that are part of that that aren't essential to the gospel. There are things that are part of that that we can just, you know, if it's going to help Penn, I'll just toss it aside. You know, this man just tossed those things aside. He became whatever he needed to be to get to Penn. I think about Paul again when, and I forgot whether it was Timothy or Titus, but the one that he circumcised him so that they could both go into the temple to talk to the Jews. You know, that was probably a heated debate at that time. It was a heated debate. We know circumcision was a big debate. And we know in another situation, Paul refused to let either Timothy or Titus, the other one, he refused to let him be circumcised because somebody was teaching that circumcision was necessary for salvation. He was like, no, it's not. But anyway, in this situation I'm describing, he was saying circumcision is nothing. You know, Timothy or Titus, whoever, will be circumcised if that's what you guys want. You know, we'll do that. We'll meet you on that ground. We'll come to you in the temple. They didn't hold to their guns. They didn't say, you guys are wrong about the circumcision thing, and I'm not going to have him circumcised. And, you know, if that's what it takes, I'm just not going to preach the gospel to you guys. Rather, they put aside that difference. They put aside that issue. Paul said he did all these things for the sake of the gospel, that he might share it with everyone. And that's what I'm trying to get to. Okay, so let's look at this guy again from the video. So he goes to Penn. Like I said, he goes to him. He puts aside any beef he might have with Penn because Penn's an atheist, and he goes to him honestly as another person. That's what I want to stress firstly, his honesty. He tells Penn that, he says, Penn, I respect your use of language. And he told Penn, your act was very funny, and I liked it, and I enjoyed it. You know, he's being honest. He's honestly telling Penn how he feels. He's not just saying, well, you're an atheist, so I'm not allowed to think you're funny, or I'm not allowed to think that you're good with language, or I'm not allowed to think you have any redeeming qualities at all because you are the enemy and I hate you and I wish you would receive the gospel and be saved. You know, it's like, that's not going to work. That's not going to get him anywhere. So anyway, he's honest, he's sincere and true. And what he said, again, he was calm and quiet and polite, it seems like. he wasn't afraid of Penn, but that didn't come out in sort of swinging to the opposite extreme of coming out swinging at him. That he was just reasonable. He was willing to reason together with Penn and to talk to him. Again, I don't think, when I bring up that verse, become all things to all people, I don't think that entails changing things, you know, or putting on an act. I don't think it involves trying to change who we are. Because I think that should just be reasonable. We should just be reasonable, sincere, honest people all the time. And I think that reality is what gets to people. I think talking about is things exactly like circumcision, like what I was talking about. Circumcision, that's not my personality. That doesn't have anything to do with whether I'm this kind of guy or this kind of guy. It's like, okay, I'll be circumcised if that's all you want, if that's all it takes for you to listen to me and to see what kind of person I am and what kind of person, more importantly, Jesus Christ is. I'll be circumcised. So that's what I think Paul is talking about. So willing to set aside those, you know, willing to meet people on those sort of points, is changing ourselves, you know, to that extent. But other than that, I think we should just be real. I think about another verse that I've preached about in James chapter 3. I think it's a really powerful example of what we should be. In James chapter 3 and in verse 17, James says, "The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So again, I won't, in another sermon, I went over every one of these. I won't do that here. But I think that this man from the video demonstrates a number of these qualities, that he is open to reason, merciful, gentle, patient. And that's the kind of people we should be. We should be willing to recognize, again, that we are men, just like Penn is, just like any other atheist or any other horrible serial killer sermon or serial killer sinner, anybody else that comes to mind. You know, we are men and women just like they are. We have sinned. We have fallen short. And that's another reason why it's important that our preaching is along the lines of, you know, Jesus Christ has made these things right, not me. You know, I'm bringing you this gospel because I have received it freely, because I have freely had my sins taken away through Jesus. So, again, that's just the point I want to make, and for us to look at ourselves. Because we can't preach that God, again, we can't preach that he's a loving God if we are being, you know, unloving and harsh. We can't prove that he's a reasonable and a righteous God if we're being unreasonable and unfair and saying things like, you know, I can't think you're funny because you're an atheist. You know, I can't admit that to him. I can't give him that, you know, even though it's true. You know, we can't preach a patient Lord if we're being impatient and quick to just dismiss the person. So we need to be those right people, and that's really the bottom line I'm trying to get across this morning. And once we become or strive to be those right people, to be in that right relationship with Jesus is really what I mean by that, then our preaching will be along the right line. Then our evangelism will be different. And all this is important, too, because it's not, again, like I said, it's not just our words that people are seeing. It's not just our words that are showing people who we are. It's our actions, and it's how we act, and it's how we carry ourselves, and how we treat other people. All these things can either reveal us to be hypocrites and saying something we don't mean, or they can reveal us to be the righteous people that we ought to be. So our actions can convert people just as much as our words can, or at least they can show them something about Jesus. Okay, so My third and final point I want to make here is maybe just about patience. I've brought it up a couple times. And, you know, I think sometimes, it's in Jude where he says, some people you must be saved as from fire, you know, urgently, while others we should treat with mercy. And I think that's true. And I think some situations require more urgency, more force. Maybe that's what's going to get the guy or girl to hear us. But I think most of the time, maybe the problem is that we are not patient. We are not faithful, that, you know, these things that we just need to keep patiently doing the right thing, and God's going to work what he's going to work. I say all this because in this video, Penn wasn't converted. At least I don't think he has been. I think the video is a few years old, but I looked into him a little bit on like his website and stuff. I'm pretty sure that, you know, he still thinks the way he does. But it's still important, I think, to recognize that this encounter that he had with this man is probably still in his mind. It's probably still working something in him. And if not, there have been others like it. And, you know, it's up to him whether that ever culminates in a conversion. But I think it's important to remember that the Lord is patient, that the Lord, you know, the world isn't ending. You know, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ has come, and he's still waiting. He's still giving people time to come to him. I think we just need to do good with the opportunity and the time that we have, and trust that, you know, he is working and he is doing what he is doing. He's shining that light into more hearts and working in more lives, and sending more people like this man from the video to do that good work, and hopefully people like us to go into the world and to do that work that he wants done. So I just think it's important for us not to panic, I guess, and not to think we need to run out there and save everybody today. I'm not encouraging us to put it off by any means, or devaluing the importance of our preaching, but I just think it's important that we be those right people, and then our preaching will become what it needs to be. So I've said that probably 4 or 5 times now, so you probably got it. So I think that's all I have to say this morning. It seemed like a short lesson. I'm not sure if it was. I'm not sure if it felt that way to you guys, but anyway, at this time we'll offer the invitation. If there are any here who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ, who have not yet known him, who have not yet come to him and have not yet been baptized into his body, knowing that any and all who desire to be saved through him, he's died for you. He's died for, you know, to redeem all creation to himself. Again, Colossians 1, verse 20, if you look there, that's what that verse says, that through Jesus Christ, God has reconciled all things to himself. So, if you need to respond to that call, if you'd like to be baptized, if you'd like to talk with someone here in the group, if you need anything else from any of us, now is a good time. Any time is a good time, but now is also a good time. So if you'd like to, please come in or come to the front.